Legal Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Dozens of diseases, ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia, are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Woo! Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenbach is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Joining us here at Republic Broadcasting Network once again, I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast, entitled Values Clarification Part 21, we continued to examine the subject of today's unrestrained, promiscuous, or indiscriminate sexual behavior. This, in contrast to the culturally stabilizing, lifelong marriages, characteristic of a predominantly Christian European-American culture up to about the mid-1900s. Because of the far-reaching impact this promiscuity is having in countries once considered bastions of Western culture, we're taking a little more time with it to help explain why today's American voters are not inclined to restore constitutional government with its free enterprise system built upon the religious principles of our ancestors. And why not? Because we're becoming a genetically modified people, unrelated to those of the early American Republic. Now, due to the typical knee-jerk response we're likely to get when discussing this and other subjects from a perspective that differs from America's incessant preconditioning, we're taking some time to show why many of our forefathers held another point of view. Some of our listeners remember when marriage partners were selected from a very narrow ethnic community within the broad spectrum of Europeans. If you, perchance, grew up in a major city with its Irish, Italian, Polish, or Slavic neighborhoods, you might have attended an ethnic cultural festival celebrating the old world traditions of theirs. These events also provided an opportunity for the next generation to select lifelong mates from among their own ethnic populations. You know, we're Italians, married Italians, and so on. As they became more comfortable in their new American surroundings, and with English as a common language to connect them, these European immigrants began choosing mates from outside their specific nationalities. But all of them were still generally considered to be Caucasians. In America's rural communities, were found enclaves of Swedes, French, Czechs, Norwegians, and others who, despite initial language and cultural barriers, soon assimilated into the existing predominantly Protestant Christian population, almost as if they were long-lost relatives. Contrast this with America's most recent, rebellious and even militant arrival of Hispanic mestizos and others defiantly crossing our southern border. Yet, this defiance is treated by Washington politicians as justifiable retribution for the wrongs allegedly done to Mexico over 100 years ago by European Americans, those white guys at the Alamo like Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie. Unlike our kinsmen who arrived from all over Europe, adopting English as their language by which to communicate with us, a new program unique in our history was officially adopted during my lifetime, creating a bilingual country to facilitate an illegal invasion of pagan culture. If Vladimir Putin was in the White House, this policy of national suicide would end tomorrow, if not today. But having discarded the faith of our forefathers, it's becoming easier to merge our children with the invaders as husband and wife. While Russian Orthodox clergy now provides biblical instruction in public schools to revive and preserve Russian culture. Now, Mr. Putin's policies on immigration and homosexuality stand in sharp contrast to our own. But if it's all a show, and his actions are not to be trusted, then maybe America's descent into paganism is just a red herring as well, to conceal our vibrant Christian character. For now, however, Moscow is manifesting far better fruit than official Washington, and it's by their fruit that we shall know them, as Jesus said. During our last message, we introduced a biblical extract from the book of Nehemiah in context with our ongoing examination of forbidden marriages, known to early Americans as amalgamation, later as miscegenation, and now, with embarrassing silence, known as interracial marriage. Both Ezra and Nehemiah addressed this problem more than 2,400 years ago when some 50,000 Israelites from the southern kingdom of Judea returned from their Babylonian captivity to rebuild the capital city of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, the exiles didn't bring enough women with them and thus took an interest in the forbidden ladies who lived nearby. Today, we pursue similar interests through the Internet and magazines advertising the abundance of Asian, Philippine, and other women anxious for American husbands. Although our Christian neighbors today are preconditioned to deny the relevance of such a sensitive topic taken from Ezra and Nehemiah, it was not so long ago that our people respected what every book of the Bible, Old or New Testament, had to say, particularly when it came to a subject of such magnitude. If the Word of God categorically forbids Israel to marry people of certain other nationalities, then this carried profound implications for anyone who took the Bible seriously. If you actually heard God whisper such instruction to His chosen people, even if you thought they were your enemy, wouldn't you be straining to hear what was said, so as to maximize your own profit potential? And if that book, the Bible, revered and preserved for centuries among the Caucasian people, if it's God's written word, then why was most of it written in Hebrew to a people called Israel? Could we be related? You'll notice, however, that mainstream denominational Christians favor the New Testament writings over the Old, sometimes to the point of ignoring them outright. Why? Because they believe there's no physical link to connect them with the Hebrew-speaking people. But they probably haven't traced their lineage to the Greek-speaking world of Peter, Paul, and John either. Which begs the question, where did they, or we, come from? Well, New Testament-only believers will admit that God created heaven and earth in the ancient book of Genesis, and that their ancestry dates from Adam through one of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Now, depending on who you talk to, it was either Adam or Noah's three sons who supplied all the genetic material needed to beget everybody on the planet. But that's a presupposition they bring to the table, along with a huge gap in their genealogy. And because so many others believe the same thing, they're comfortable, even confident, and sometimes even downright overbearing. We do well to remember what the Apostle Paul said in the aftermath of his self-assurance as a persecutor of the church before he received God's revelation on Damascus Road. Struck blind for 3 days, Paul found time to rethink what he thought he already knew. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, he wrote, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know." You see, belief in creation itself is built on a presupposition without direct proof. None of us can write a legally valid affidavit stating from personal first-hand knowledge that we saw God do anything. We take it as an article of faith. And what's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, says Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Today's message, Values Clarification, part 22. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Dotem Line. I hope you join us on the other side of this break.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow, why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com. Microplantpowder.com.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Well, welcome back to this segment of Values Clarification Part 22. You're listening to Datum Line, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. In today's message, we'll pick up where we left off with Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln, both of whom were acquainted with the Bible. Both of whom are often quoted by people of varied and opposing religious, political, and economic persuasions. Both of whom are viewed as being America's best known and foremost champions of equality in the broadest sense of that word. In respect to the subject at hand, miscegenation, predicated on the presumption of an ill-defined concept called racial equality, our almost universally held perception of these two former presidents was shown in Values Clarification Part 21 to be unfounded. Mr. Jefferson's view of racial equality was intentionally misrepresented by omitting key words from what visitors to his monument in Washington, D.C., find carved in the granite wall, by quoting only the first of three interrelated sentences from his autobiography to create an erroneous impression. But that false presentation on the wall, carved in stone, is, like a Hollywood docudrama, based on a true story. For our new listeners, the sentence reads as follows, quote, "Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people," referring to the American Negroes, "are to be free," end quote. However, not carved in stone were the qualifying words that came next, quote, "Nor is it less certain that the two races, equally free, cannot live in the same government. Nature, habit, opinion has drawn indelible lines of distinction between them," end quote, from Thomas Jefferson's autobiography, first published in 1829 and then republished by an act of Congress later on. Now, imagine how visitors to the Lincoln Memorial would react to the great Emancipator's Proclamation when he said, quote, "I can conceive of no greater calamity than the assimilation of the Negro into our social and political life as our equal," end quote. Well, perhaps those were only his private sentiments, spoken as a youth, long before the war, concealed by altruistic historians, perhaps, so as not to upset any of our emotionally unstable citizens on either side of the color line. No, this was delivered by President Abraham Lincoln in a public address to a deputation of Negroes in Washington, D.C., on August 14, 1862, after the war had commenced. His message discussed the program of resettling American Negroes in the newly formed African country of Liberia, created by the American Colonization Society, after their anticipated emancipation. This was where Abraham Lincoln also said, quote, "I have urged the colonization of the Negroes, and I shall continue. My Emancipation Proclamation was linked to this plan," end quote, Abraham Lincoln. Now, more than 11,000 American Negroes had been resettled in Africa prior to that war for secession, which coincidentally interrupted the program. Lincoln's later assassination ended it. Another coincidence. But in the early 1900s, a Negro from Jamaica named Marcus Garvey, who was a staunch racial separatist, rekindled the idea with his Back to Africa movement after moving to New York in 1916. Now, Garvey was a gifted orator who, with the help of his newspaper called Negro World, would become the most influential black leader of the early 1920s, having millions of followers. However, for those of you who believe in strategic coincidences, another one was about to dash any hope for solving America's racial dilemma. Mr. Garvey's success would decline rather rapidly after being convicted of, get this now, mail fraud.
Really?
Mail fraud. In connection with the Negro Steamship Company called the Black Star Line, which was being organized to transport American Negroes back to Africa. Mail fraud. Well, it's a lot cheaper than war and far more dignified than assassination. See, he was jailed in 1925, and 2 years later, Marcus Garvey was deported back to Africa. You see, not even blacks are permitted to correct an insane interracial agenda foisted on both cultures by spiritual, political, and economic forces lurking in the shadows for over 200 years, specifically on this issue. You see, if mainstream media and academia had given us an endless force-feeding of the foregoing statements by Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln, instead of the disquieting mantras of our social agitators, we might be closer to solving America's racial crisis to the betterment of both parties, blacks and whites. Millions of blacks who followed Marcus Garvey thought that was going to happen almost 100 years ago. But if you're a dynamic leader on either side of the color line who believes separation is the only way to preservation, then beware of those who profit from and could possibly arrange a strategic coincidence in your life. To the uninitiated, this may come as a surprise. How could this be, they ask? We're so well educated. We watch lots of Hollywood films with egalitarian themes exposing white bigotry and extolling racial equality, all based on true stories. Which begs another question for those who never thought to ask. What percentage of the truth did Hollywood rely upon to build their conclusions and mold our perceptions? President Lincoln's formal presentation to his Afro-American audience provided some additional insight into the predilections of his compatriots in the American Colonization Society, who, along with himself, were folks like Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, Andrew Jackson, James Monroe, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and others, saying, quote, "Within 20 years we can peacefully colonize the Negro and give him our language, literature," they didn't have a written literature, and literature is written, by the way, "religion, and system of government under conditions in which he can rise to the full measure of manhood. This he can never do here. We can never attain the ideal union our fathers dreamed, with millions of an alien, inferior race among us, whose assimilation is neither possible nor desirable," end quote. You got to be kidding. Lincoln said that to a room full of African Americans? Yeah, he went on. He wasn't speaking with malice. No, there's no malice involved in this. He said, "See our present condition. The country engaged in war." Well, that was true. "Our white men cutting one another's throats." That was also true. "And then what we know to be the truth. But for your race," the audience, "but for your race among us, there could not be war. Although many men engaged on either side do not care for you one way or the other. It is better for us both, therefore, to be separated. You and we are different races." End quote. Now, President Lincoln, like so many of our less evolved ancestors, that's what many people think of them, was unaware that according to a book entitled, oops, Music, I like this tune, but it means a break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, Values Clarification, Part 22. And this is Datamon.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Welcome back to this segment of Datum Line, Values Clarification, Part 22. We had just quoted Abraham Lincoln in part on the other side of this break. Now, Lincoln, like so many of our less evolved ancestors, as I started to say, was unaware that according to a book entitled Man's Most Dangerous Myth, The Fallacy of Race, written by a British anthropologist named Ashley Montague, he says that there's no such thing as race. How refreshing! That means there's no such thing as racism, which is even more refreshing. Oh, yes, and Ashley Montague is an alias for Israel Ehrenberg, says the Index of My Awakening, written by David Duke, under Ashley Montague. Isn't this fun? So Noah Webster, Random House, and others got it all wrong. Even Black's Law Dictionary, all of them propagating a myth. Black's 4th and 5th edition, for example, says under the word race that it, quote, is an ethnical stock, a great division of mankind having in common certain distinguishing physical peculiarities. No, that's just a myth. Constituting a comprehensive class appearing to be derived from a distinct primitive source. A tribal or national stock, a division or subdivision of one of the great racial stocks of mankind distinguished by minor peculiarities. End quote. Black's Law Dictionary. Now consider for a moment that a race is to humankind what the category called breed is to animal kind. But Israel Ehrenberg, or Ashley Montague if you prefer, might call dog, horse, and cattle breeders, breeders of dangerous myths, under a subtitle, The Fallacy of Breeds. So if you have a Sheltie, Bouvier, German Shepherd, Chihuahua, Doberman Pinscher, Beagle, Dachshund, Black and Tan, St. Bernard, Greyhound, or whatever. Any differences that you perceive between them is purely mythological. One blood, right? Well, let's get back to that presentation of President Lincoln to the Negro deputation in Washington on that summer day in August of 1862. Back when people were free to speak openly and frankly about such things, without someone in the audience getting all bent out of shape because the media told them to, not so much because he's construing a word used as being psychologically unflattering to his delicate ego, but we've been whipped up into these sentiments. He said, quote, "You," the Negroes in his audience, "and we are different races. We have between us a broader difference than exists between almost any other two races." Now, there's been a little bit of a change in the racial composition. There are a lot more blacks who look an awful lot more European because of the miscegenation process that's been going on. But back then, they were much more different. They were more like their African ancestors. Okay? He says, quote, "Whether it is right or wrong, I need not discuss. But this physical difference is a great disadvantage to us both, as I think your race suffers very greatly, many of them by living among us, while ours suffers from your presence. In a word, we suffer on each side. If this be admitted, it affords a reason at least why we should be separated." End quote. This is taken from the collected works of Abraham Lincoln, edited by Roy P. Basler, Volume 5, page 371. This published by Rutgers University Press between 1953 and 1955, and quoted by David Duke in his autobiographical work entitled My Awakening, published in 2000, and this found at page 41. Now, if these pronouncements of Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Jefferson come as a surprise to you, then imagine their impact on a 13-year-old white boy growing up in Louisiana during the Civil Rights era, specifically in 1963. These words, none of which were delivered in a spirit of bitterness or hatred, were first seen by such a lad in a book by Carlton Putnam entitled Race and Reason, A Yankee View, published by Washington Affairs Press in 1961. Now, the Civil Rights Act came along in about 1964-65. Efforts to keep this and other information that we've just read in this and the previous broadcast concealed from both whites and blacks has thus facilitated a hidden agenda, the truth of which becomes more vivid with each passing day as the unsavory harvest begins to ripen. One unique crop being harvested in greater numbers, among many diverse crops, is that of interracial children born to Bible-believing Christians of a decidedly New Testament-only persuasion. Now, you can just imagine how well this current series of messages would go over in mainstream denominational churches that sponsor young missionaries zealous to convert the prolific swarms of pagans in third world countries, meaning non-white countries, where one of the byproducts has been an increase in sexual liaisons between those missionaries and the people they were sent to evangelize. Cohabiting with the natives is a temptation made easier, what with the decidedly non-biblical moral standards back in America, along with the pagan agenda of racial equality, to which we've all been subjected repeatedly since birth. Add to this the somewhat recent book entitled One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism, by three different authors back in 1999, as a politically correct promotional ad campaign for miscegenation by mainstream religion, and you can see that the gravitational pull of instant sexual gratification on young Christians is elevated to unprecedented heights. For the first time in the history of God's covenant people, we're told that it's all part of God's divine plan. Mix it up any way you please, so long as they accept our modern, easy-to-believe, abbreviated New Testament religion. In other words, you can ignore that nagging sensation inside you called your conscience, once known as synderesis in Black's Law Dictionary prior to the 5th edition, and what the Bible calls the law written on your heart or mind. Your Israelite heart or mind, by the way, Hebrews 8, 8-10, Jeremiah 31, 31-34. And also back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, by the way. That feeling you got when Sister Lily White introduced her good friend, tall, dark, and handsome. You remember that line? It even appeared in various songs, didn't it? He's tall, dark, and well, you know how it is. Well, dear, well, never mind. Anyway, he was from the tropics. Oh, and she also introduced their not-so-Lily White baby. Isn't it wonderful how our understanding of Scripture has evolved and improved after thousands of years, whereby we can now mix with pagan cultures and even bring same-sex partners into the marriage bed? God is so good, isn't he? And so progressive. That must have been why ministers of the gospel back in the 1960s were leading the civil rights marches for interracial equality, whatever that meant. But a type of equality that even the great emancipator Abraham Lincoln never intended. When told by a social critic that God hath made of one blood all nations of men, as it says in Acts 17, Abraham Lincoln responded that the same God also set the bounds of their habitations. He wasn't ignorant of what the Bible had to say. Malcolm X, you remember that name, he was born Malcolm Little back in 1925. He would learn that the civil rights movement was an innocuous-sounding coverlet under which the seed of interracial marriage would be planted, the rest of which, or the result of which, I should say, would ultimately be the destruction of both white and black cultures. Having previously espoused hatred for whites, which was understandable considering the level of mainstream agitation to which his and our generation was exposed, Malcolm X came to understand the false paradigm that still enslaves most Americans today. Whitey was no longer the culprit. It was the evil system in which both sides were trapped. But who controls the system? Well, that's a question most of us share in common when first we learned that all is not well in America and that we've all been subjected to a world of smoke and mirrors. So it was for a Louisiana boy back in 1963. Very few people appreciate being told what they may or may not see, hear, or otherwise experience in life, especially as they grow toward adulthood. Whoever exercises the power to censor the information we might otherwise receive is already privy to what we've been denied. And that's the double standard most of us don't like. It makes no difference if you're black or white, Puerto Rican or Asiatic. Deep down inside, most people want to know what's being concealed from them when they discover that some kind of deception is in progress. Usually, what's concealed is the truth. Clearing away the smoke, smog, and mirrors is a laborious task that can often lead into the quicksand of still more deception. Well, here's our music. This is our next break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. This is Data Malign. And you are listening to Values Clarification, Part 22.
The current declaration of martial law and coup in Thailand, while significantly impacting tourism, has been met by expats and in-country tourists with a what-coup attitude. While internal political changes must be made before the upcoming elections, the curfew is now largely ignored in tourist areas. Translation? Great hotels and cheap flights at unheard-of savings. Veterans, VA lost your paperwork again? Visit AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com for life-saving treatments and surgery at fractions of U.S. prices. And a really cool vacation afterwards. Hit us up at AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Welcome back to the final segment of Datum Line Values Clarification, Part 22. You know, despite our differences, each of us shared similar experiences as we began to investigate subject matter that is highly sensitive to the knee-jerk reflex. While it might appear that cultural diversity is just such a topic, one's opposition to it can be even more so. That is called race mixing, a phenomena that blurs the clear distinction between races as God created them, by inserting an infinite gradation of colors resulting from man's promiscuous behavior, tending more and more toward confusion than harmony. Furthermore, it spells the end of God's covenant people, Israel according to the flesh, who were expressly forbidden to enter into sexual union with people of alien or pagan cultures. Because this subject is rather convoluted, involving a number of biblical presuppositions to which we already subscribe, or that we once held sacred and perhaps now question, I'll not rush headlong into another sensitive but related topic with so little time remaining. Instead, as a low-keyed point of interest, I'd like to relate a story about that 13-year-old boy from his own words, partly because you, as a listener to alternative media, will understand his frustration with the system of mainstream communication, and that includes academia, mainstream media, Hollywood, and mainstream religion. Viewed as a synergistic system of mind control, we might call it feedlot media. The story is written in the first person, so I'll begin at page 32 of his quite interesting book. Quote, "I found it easy to be a racial egalitarian," he says. judging by the books, newspapers, and magazines I read, all the most prominent and admired actors, singers, scientists, and politicians, believed in racial equality. I was proud to share the sentiments of these people of fame and accomplishment who were working to get us into the bright new age ahead. I was also aware enough to know that white racism may have been popular in the Deep South, but holding such views could be quite damaging to a young man who wanted to be an astronaut. At age 13, I was shy and bookish and idealistic on one hand, and physically hard from my time in the outdoors on the other. I had no doubt that the civil rights movement and integration would prevail, and that when racial discrimination ended, everything in America would work out just as wonderfully as the egalitarians predicted. The barriers were falling across the South. The Supreme Court continued to strike down Jim Crow, and black political registration and power were growing dramatically. One thing was for sure. Politics had no great interest for me. Was that like you back when you were 13? In an eighth grade civics class at Gannis Junior High School, the teacher gave her students an interesting assignment. We were to choose a topic dealing with current events and take a polemical, that's an argumentative, position on it, then research that topic and defend it rationally in class. I chose as my topic the case for racial integration of education. After each of us had chosen and taken a position, she told us that we had probably taken a topic we probably agreed with. So our assignment now became to research and take the opposite point of view from what we had originally chosen. Isn't that interesting? The assignment set my mind in turmoil. I went to the school library that afternoon to research the case against racial integration of education. In the card file, I found listed many books on the subjects of racial equality and integration of education. I had evidently chosen this a topic that would be easily researched. But as I examined the books, I found that one after another argued in favor of integration. Even in this small church school library, there were at least a dozen books promoting the civil rights movement and its heroes, but no books on the other side. Why? It was obvious that there was a lot of popular opposition to integration. I had seen the newsreels of its white opponents, and segregationists were being elected all over the South. Whites rioted in New Orleans to prevent integration of the schools, and almost every major politician of the time opposed it in principle. Yet, amazingly, I couldn't find a book against it. The next day, I went to the Doubleday bookstore on Canal Street, hoping to search out some books opposed to forced integration of public education. I found dozens of books promoting integration, and some even touting black supremacy. But again, I found nothing opposed to integration. Even the books that supposedly offered a balanced analysis of the issue were decidedly one-sided in their presentation. Finally, to make some progress on my assignment, I resorted to gleaning the anti-integration arguments from pro-integration books. Those arguments were uneven. The liberal civil rights books made the arguments of segregationists seem stupid and banal. I read that the whites are opposed to integration because of sexual insecurity, that whites want to oppress blacks so they can keep them economically subjugated and exploited. That's the Marxist interpretation, he says. That segregationists hate blacks simply because of their color. A few of the books suggested that some segregationists thought that blacks were less intelligent and more violent than whites, a distinction that they argued would lead to a marked decline in American education. The liberals curtly dismissed such arguments by saying that, quote, no scientific evidence supports the contention that whites are smarter than blacks, end quote. And they repeated in a litany, quote, the only difference is the color of skin, end quote. I was in a quandary. I had to defend a position that had no supporting evidence and one that I morally opposed. When I opened the morning paper a few days before my school assignment was due, I saw something that gave me a glimmer of hope. The Times-Picayune reported a meeting held at the Municipal Auditorium by the New Orleans chapter of the White Citizens Council. I quoted Judge Linder Perez of Plaquemines Parish as saying that racial integration would ultimately destroy the quality of the New Orleans public school system. There was little of substance in the news article, but learning about the existence of the Citizens Council heightened my hope of finding information from the segregationist viewpoint. After school, I rode the old Canal Street streetcar down to the Citizens Council office. A middle-aged woman, Mrs. Singleton, with bleached-out freckles and bifocals, greeted me with a deep southern accent, more characteristic of neighboring Mississippi than of New Orleans. She was busy with a mailing, so I hurriedly asked if she had any books that opposed the integration of education. With a slightly exasperated manner, she pointed to a bookshelf that were 10 feet tall and stretched across an entire wall 15 feet across. "Take a look," she snapped. What I saw amazed me. They had hundreds of volumes that supported the idea that racial differences go far beyond skin color, that heredity rather than environment is the key shaper of intelligence and personality, and that there is a historical record of racial integration and intermarriage in many nations that indicates racial mixing retards progress and leads to lowering standards. I looked over books by prominent geneticists, psychologists, anthropologists, historians, sociologists, and educators. They took the point of view that no matter how we might wish it otherwise, race does matter. A book by Audrey Shuey, quote, or entitled The Testing of Negro Intelligence, assembled 384 separate scientific studies on intelligence and race, all of them showing a marked difference between the races. Another book that caught my eye was Race, Riots, and Revolution by Teddy Roosevelt, a president whom I idolized for his conservationism and patriotism. All of this came as a shock to me. I found an opposing viewpoint on racial integration that is literate, reasoned, and intelligent, even supported by famous Americans, not simply the ranting of backwoods white supremacists. It is a viewpoint on race that popular media in America would not even acknowledge. I didn't have much money. It was 1963, and I was 13 years old. So I asked the lady at the desk which book she would recommend. She picked up a paperback copy of Race and Reason, A Yankee View by Carlton Putnam. I had no inkling that that book would change my life. That was David Duke, a little white boy, 13. Yeah, the media's rigged, boys and girls. Hey, values clarification part 22, datum line. I hope you found this of interest. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.